Hello and welcome to Crosstalk with your hosts, Martha Lee and Anna Mae, a podcast dedicated to encouraging and pointing people to Christ, provoke you to find your calling in the Lord, brought to you by Cornerstone Ministries New Life Church. So join us on a journey to reaching the world for Christ, starting in our own backyard. So sit back, we hope you enjoy the podcast, and we pray it encourages and blesses you.
Welcome to Crosstalk. Today we're happy to have with us Bessie Hicks. Welcome, Bessie.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, ladies.
We're glad to have you.
We are excited to have you, Bessie. We're going to go ahead and jump in with our first question for you. Where and when did you get saved? And what brought you to that decision to receive Jesus as your Savior?
Well, I was very young when I first got saved. I am definitely the product of Proverbs 22:6. If you train a child in the way that they go, when they're old, they won't depart. Mm-hmm. So I started really young for me. I was 7 years old. I remember getting born again in a little Pentecostal church. It was across the street from the camp my Uncle Benny Brandt owned. And we would go there. It was back, I guess it must have been 82 if I was seven. So it was before there was traveler churches, and we would go to the little church across the street, and I remember getting water baptized there. And then I remember at 8 years old being filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I was at a Jimmy Swaggart crusade in Philadelphia. So I specifically remember those two, you know, experiences as a young child. And from there, you know, my mom and dad served the Lord. We was in church, and it was just all I ever knew. I mean, I only knew to go to the house of the Lord, to be faithful, and they showed me by example to serve the Lord. Like, we definitely was not, you know, pew warmers. My mom taught Sunday school, adult Sunday school, before church started. She taught children's church during the service, and she was regularly used in the prophetic ministry in the church. The Lord would use her, as he still does to this day, to bring forth a prophetic word. Or my Aunt Rosemary, that would attend church with us at this time, we was in Uncle Billy McKenzie's church. A traveler church had started, and we come up from the Assembly of God, and we started to go and serve there. My mom and dad did. I was just a young kid, but I remember it all like it was so normal to me, is what I'm trying to say. It was just a way of life. My dad was a deacon, and then, you know, eventually a board member, and they just served. And so that's all I knew as a kid. But I didn't really have that surrender my life to Jesus moment for years later. And that's why I say I am truly a product of Proverbs 22:6. My mom and dad taught me, brought me to church, taught me to be faithful to the Lord, taught me to serve the Lord. You know, we did nursery or cleaned the church. We did whatever needed to be done. It was just all, you know, all we knew, me and all my brothers and my sister, we was all raised in church and given that example to her, you know, from my mom and dad, specifically mom, you know, as a teacher, because she taught the word. That was part of her gift. And I remember being a kid and us going away on work trips with my dad in the mountains, and we'd have memory verses on the fridge, like, that I can remember those verses to this day. I can tell you what they were. And so the word was always put in there, and it was a love for serving the Lord was always there. I'd like to say I, you know, always served the Lord through my teen years and all that. I did not, and kind of maybe get into that a little bit more as we go on. But when I became old, and you know, when you become old, it's a different age for different people. I didn't depart from what was planted in me and impressed in me since I was a child. And it was my heart's desire when I did have my own kids to raise them up in the house of the Lord and to teach them how to serve the Lord and not know anything else, because that was the inheritance that I had. And there's nothing that can replace it, in my opinion. Amen. It's just the greatest thing you could ever do for your kids, you know.
Well, just like we teach our boys how to work, we teach our girls how to clean a house and do everything they need to do. If they have a baby, hopefully we've taught them how to take care of children. And that's what we're to do in the Spirit the same way. We're to raise them up and teach them and get them ready for life, if you will, eternal life more than, you know, life. But it goes together, your walk on earth and that together. So we're going to ask you the next question. Do you remember the first person that you witnessed to or brought to the Lord?
I don't remember the first person that I witnessed. I mean, I know people that I witnessed to, But I, to be honest with you, we kind of I skipped a lot there because I want to go back to the salvation question. Because yes, mm-hmm. I was born again at a young age, but I never surrendered my life to the Lord till many years later. And honestly, it's like a two part of mm-hmm. you know, when did you get saved? I was saved. I was filled with the Spirit. Obviously, the Bible says you can't be filled with the Spirit unless you were born again. So even at that young age, I had that experience. But it was years later I went. And I feel like it's important, my own testimony, that I was, even though I was raised in church, I was a rebellious teenager. You know, I didn't, if mom and dad looked at me for fruit of what they had put in, there really wasn't a lot there. You know, I run off at 17 and got married, and then I just kind of done my own thing. And even so, deep within me was embedded that I always went to church. I knew to go to church, and I knew to do right. And, you know, the Bible says in James that if you know to do right and you do it not to you, it's sin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So even though I wasn't out doing no horrible crime, I was in sin because I wasn't doing what I knew the Lord, you know, what I was raised to do and what the Word had been putting me to do. I was just kind of doing my own thing, just caught mm-hmm. up in the world like people get, you know. And I at that point, I had when I was 20, I had a set of twins. My twins were born very premature, and so my boy was 1 pound and 12 ounces. My girl was 2 pounds, 15 ounces. They was in the hospital for months, like 4 months, and it was a very traumatic experience and really probably should have been the turning point in my life. But even through that, I cried out to the Lord because I needed his help. I needed a miracle, and my kids are miracles, but I really didn't have a relationship with them. I had just kind of wandered so far from having that personal relationship with the Lord. And so ministry wise, as far as like reaching out and ministering to people, until I surrendered my life to the Lord, you know, obviously none of that happened. I needed ministered too, never mind reaching out and, you know, witnessing to other people. And even though I did that, like as a teenager, I remember Charlie taking us out and us passing out tracts and that, but it was almost like until that surrender moment came that really there was no, God really didn't use me because I wasn't available, not because he didn't want to, because I wasn't available for him to use. You know, I share that with people all That's the right. time. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability.
Yeah, right.
The moment I made myself available to the Lord, I'm literally, the moment I made myself available and said, here I am, Lord, the Lord done such a miraculous work in my life. And so I do want to share that part of the testimony, if that's all right.
Sure,
and,
yes.
It happened in June of 98 is when I surrendered my life to the Lord. Well, the beginning of it, there was a revival in Richmond, a youth revival. I lived in Baltimore at the time. And we, like I said, I went to church. So it wasn't like it was normal to me because I was raised to do that. But I didn't really have a Bible. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I had a religion, for lack of a better word. And I went to this revival in June 98, and there was such a move of God. Tom Hicks was preaching the revival. The Burden Lifters was doing the worship service. And if you've interviewed, you know, any of the people that was at that revival, they will all bring you back to that date because it was just supernatural. And in that revival, there was such a move of God. God raised up a whole generation of ministers. Jimmy Townsley, got, you know, when I say saved, I mean they got radically turned on to the Lord. They might have been saved at a younger age, but they surrendered their life. And from that moment on, they never looked back. George Pepper, all the girls are called to worship. My sister Mary, Teresa, Red Mary, Maggie. These were all the next generation of ministry. All got born again. Linda Marie that done the youth in Baltimore uh-huh. for all them years. We were all touched in the same revival, in the same move of God. And there was such a radical change in everybody that they just went on. They were kids, and so they had to, you know, grow up. But they're still serving the Lord. All those people
Amen.
Are still in ministry.
Amen.
Still, just from that one move of God. But I came home from that revival, and I like I said, I had definitely experienced the presence of God like they did. But I don't know if it was because I was older and I wasn't used like them. I still, like, just kind of caught in my own way. And my sister was so radically saved at the revival. She was literally on fire. Her gifting was in the prophetic, and she was just so excited about the things of God. And she was worried for me. You know, she was like, sis, I know what I have. It doesn't seem like that's what you have. And she bought me a Bible. And if you want to talk about the life-changing moment in my, there was that pivotal moment in my life. It was when she bought me that Bible. I didn't even have one. So you can imagine what kind of relationship I had with the Lord. And girls, it was the most amazing thing as I started reading the Word. Mm-hmm. Years and years of trying to do good because I knew I was taught to do good, but no power to do it. No, I just would fall. You know how the enemy would begin that trap. And there was no change from 7 and 8 years old all the way to 22. There was really no change. But once I started reading the Word of God, once I started to make that a priority in my life, I am living my life scripture, Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I found out when you put the word in that the world went out. I just kept packing the word in, and I didn't even realize how radically I was being changed. And so to go back to the second question, when did you, first witness to people? It wasn't within no time. Within a year of that transformation that took place, I had opportunity to minister in Baltimore. They let me lead the youth group. Again, I wasn't able, but I was available. So they said, so go ahead. And I like to laugh. Tommy Cameron will say I was his first youth pastor, and I was. Little Richard Stanley, they were through to that ministry. And even though I was so young in the Lord and didn't really know what I was doing, his grace just ministered to people, through me. And it was amazing to see lives being changed. And so my desire was always to teach people the Word of God, because I know what it did to me. John 8:31-32 says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and that truth will make you free. And that is exactly what happened to me. And then from that point on, ministry just, it was one thing connects to another, just nonstop opportunities. I said, here I am, Lord. And when I say he used me and he's still using me, it was actually unbelievable the things the Lord has allowed me to do.
That's that series you're doing right now.
And I loved him.
Here I am. I was just listening to that.
That's the series I'm doing.
That's the series you're doing. Yes, yes.
And it's always on my heart, because I've seen what God did when I said, here I am. When I truly got to that point of surrender to say, I'm here, Lord. Your desires is my desires. And then, my goodness, the ministry opportunities after the youth. I guess it was in 2000, the first ladies retreat ever took place in Richmond. And I went to it, and I don't know if it was that year, girls. If I was home, I would have my, all my notes and I'm not home, I'm in Florida. And I'm like, when the old ones would say I had a 72 Buick, a 74 Buick, and I was in Las Cruces. Well, that's what I'm like. I'm trying to go back in my mind's eye. It was this. So my years might not be exact, but somewhere in that, 2000, at that ladies retreat, my cousin Mary Mullins was there, and she prophesied over me, and she said, the Lord's raising up a wave of young ministry. And she said, you're at the top of it, like at the head, not ahead of anybody, but like coming up. Right. And honestly, the opportunities that we received was just mind blowing, where the Lord took us and what he allowed us to do. It was unbelievable.
You said, we asked you about the witnessing, and you said it wasn't until you had that experience, and that struck a chord with me, because when you get radically saved and God does something in your life, the first thing you want to do is tell everybody. You want to share it and give, it's like the bread. You want to pass the crumbs to everybody else. You know what I mean?
And it's comical, because that's what happened with my sister. Even though I was in that revival and I experienced the presence of the Lord, she was truly radically saved, as the first time as an adult. And she laughs all the time, because in John chapter 1, it talks about Peter and Andrew, and Jesus called them and said, Andrew, listen first. And the first thing he did was go get his brother Peter. And that's exactly what my sister, she was like, God has done this in me, and he's going to do it in you. And did we not know that the Lord was going to send us out?
Right.
She has a gift of worship. And a gift of prophetic, and her gifts complement my gift of teaching and the things the Lord brought. And he, his sisters, he sent us out, and we ministered all over. We're still ministering all over the country. And so her heart was to come get her sister. That's ought to be our heart to the people that are closest to us. Right. First Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, witness to your own family, be a witness to them. So that was definitely the experience in my life.
Well, you answered the questions of when did you feel called to ministry? How did you get started in ministry? We've got wrote down here, any standout moments, anything you'd like to share once you got into ministry, some tremendous things that God did.
Oh, guys, 26 years of ministry. My mind has reeled to think of all the different things. But like I said, that prophetic word that Mary Mullen spoke over me, we seen come to pass the following year. We was at ladies retreat. We was preparing, and we didn't have a band coming in. They were new back then, so it wasn't like it was a whole formal thing. It was just kind of like a meeting. And my cousins was there, Red Mary and Teresa, and Betty Ann was in the church, and my sister Mary. And we kind of looked around, like, you play the guitar, you play this, you play that. The only thing we didn't have was a drummer, and I didn't play the drums. Like I said, my gift was always to teach the word. That's where my heart always was. But I want to bring that point out, because people have a hard time figuring out what it is God's called them to do. Do whatever's in front of you. Do fill whatever need is in the church that you're
that's
at.
Good.
Find
good.
Somewhere to serve. And that's what I did with the drums. I didn't know how to play the drums. The Holy Spirit taught me how to play, but we needed a drummer. And I want to tell you, if you don't know how to do what needs to be done and you're willing to do it, the Holy Spirit will teach you.
That's good.
And so we had that moment of, okay, you play the drums, you play this, you play that. And then we did the worship. That's the thing at the ladies retreat. And from there, the opportunities that the Lord allowed us to do, like I said, we traveled. The first time they went out was in Phoenix. That was the only revival I didn't make. They went to Phoenix. It had the greatest move of God. But from there, we went to Allentown, New Jersey, went to Mobile, Alabama. People didn't even know us. They called us out to Wisconsin. They didn't know our name. Only the favor of the Lord. Nothing else. We didn't know them, but they opened right. their churches up to us. And girls, we would come and do the music, and they'd ask me to speak. Now, if you think about it, there would be six services. We'd do the worship services, and then I'd get up from the drums, and I'd preach, and then I would do the altars, and then we'd get up the next morning and do the same
Gosh,
thing. Like,
what
I'm telling you, when we said, God, use us, he just...
He did it.
Are you sure you didn't say, God, abuse us?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, that moment, the moment where we come together with the girls are called worship and the Lord allowed us to make CDs, that was definitely a pivotal moment in my life and in ministry. And I remember being on the drums before I'd ever been called out to preach anywhere. We was at a convention, and I heard old Mary Jestry, God rest her, she's gone now, but she was leading the ladies' meeting. She said, the Lord put somebody on my heart to do the next convention. And at this point, I'd never preached outside of my own church. I was only, you know, I had a little ladies meeting, and I was thankful to be doing that. And the Lord said to me while I was sitting on them drums, that's you. And then just that quick, the enemy came and said, that's not you. Who do you think, you know, who do you think you are? But I said that because serving the Lord in drums, even though it was something that I had never done and didn't really know how to do, opened the door for the next thing the Lord would allow me to do. And everything he allowed me to do in ministry has always been connected to the last thing. So I know I'm taking up a lot of time, so I'm gonna move on.
That's good, Bessie.
But I have a few more major, you know, things that happen in ministry. Like I said, the Lord allowed me in 2000. I moved back to Richmond, and it was just a few years after that. My pastors, Ted and Diane, they're still my pastors now. They allowed me to head up the ladies' meeting, and like I said again, I wasn't really qualified, but I was available. I said, I'll do my best. And I ended up serving in that position for 12 years. And the thing about my pastors was whatever harebrained thing I came up to do, I was like, I want to go load the girls up in a van and go to New England evangelizing. And they was like, praise the Lord. Here's the van. We want to get behind you. I was like, we'll cover you. They always encouraged me,
that's good,
you know, to get out of the box and whatever thing the Lord put on my heart. And so it wasn't long after at the ladies' meeting, you talked about the one, you know, people that you witnessed to an evangelist. One of my favorite people that I ever got to lead to the Lord, like that moment that you couldn't believe, was the Lord had placed this woman in my heart. She was an acquaintance of mine, but I didn't really know her. Her name is Andrea. A lot of people know her now because she's associated with the Dress to Kill ministry. But I just started to witness to her. She was unsaved, and I didn't really get received real well at the beginning. I want to encourage anybody that's witnessing, and you know, you don't always get received real well at the beginning, but the Lord just, she would just, a year or a month would go by, and then I would kind of sow a seed again, and one day she called me, and the Lord just had that moment, and she started to cry about her problems and what was going on in her life, and I said, are you ready to receive the Lord? And she said, I am, and I led her to the Lord over the phone. Man. But you know, it was really like a Cornelius moment. I don't know if you're familiar, like the listeners, I'm sure you are, but with Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius just was crying out to the Lord, and God allowed him to gather his family together, and they had like a supernatural, you know, move of the Spirit of God breakthrough in Acts chapter 10. Well, that's really what happened with her. She said she was so radically changed, just like you said, Anime, that she wanted to go find her own family and help them.
Right.
She said,
right.
if I make a pot of soup and a sandwich, would you come up to my house and I invite my cousins and my family, which happened to my husband's family, you know, can we have Bible study? And so then now I'm running the ladies' meeting at my own church, and an hour and a half away, I've started this Bible study. The Lord's given me opportunity. And at that little table with 8 or 10 women, we've seen healing from cancer, a 5-year-old baby healed of cancer supernaturally. We've seen a deliverance. We've seen salvation, household salvation. We've seen ministries rise up right now. The people that are leading worship in my church and their children are all serving the Lord and our worship leaders. That wasn't in a 500-person building or a 1,000-person convention. It was around a kitchen table.
Amen.
Which is breaking the word of God, getting out. But what fruit? Just planting the word of God in people's hearts and consistently. And so I did that for 8 years while I was doing the lady thing. So like I said, it was nonstop. The Lord has never stopped giving me opportunity, and I'm blown away with the favor. Yeah. And the
You sit around a kitchen table, and what some people don't realize, everybody wants to get up on the stage. But when you're faithful in the little, what happens? Right?
Oh, God makes you ruler over much, yeah.
That's what happens.
Absolutely.
And I think it's a growing process of seeing how faithful, how much are you willing to commit? Will you go minister to three people? Or will you pick gum wrappers up? Or will you do whatever? What was it Jansen Franklin said the other day? If you're too big to do the small, you're probably too small to do the big.
Oh, my goodness, isn't that true? Absolutely. That has definitely been what the Lord has allowed me to do. And like I said, with every ministry opportunity connected, when I started that Bible study, the Lord had me to type out the Bible study. Now, I love teaching the Word. I love reading the Word. That is what God has called me to do. But ask me to write a sentence or try to get that, that's not my strength. But every week, the Lord would have me to do it and would frustrate me. Anime, I would be like, I'm not good at this. I don't know why the Lord has me doing this. And I would print out that little Bible study for our group of women that we would, we would have week after week. And I never knew then that the Lord was preparing me to write.
Right.
What I would
faithfulness
write
in the little, right?
Out.
Right.
Amen. Wrote books.
Again,
and everything.
That is something that I really wanted to press home as far as finding the call of God in your life. Because it's really my heart is to see people get born again, get filled with the Spirit of God, find out what God's called you to do. There's nothing like serving the Lord.
Amen.
No, nothing compares to a million miles of what it's like to find what the Lord calls you to do and do it. And like I said, what I didn't know then, that was probably maybe 2000 and from 2004 to 2013 or 2006 to 2013, not exactly right on the years. But that period of time, every week I would write out the Bible study. It was so sapless. But God was training me then for what I would, if I didn't do that, then I would have never been able to do, when God called me to write, I would have never been able to, it would have been so foreign to me. But he was preparing me then.
Amen. That was tremendous.
It was,
Bessie. It was tremendous. What's your vision going forward for our people, our churches, et cetera? What vision do you have for us?
Well, my vision never changed. It's always been to make disciples. Since I put the word in my own heart and seen the Lord, and I had people to teach me, I don't mean that, but when I seen what the word could do when it was planted, when it didn't go in one ear and out the other, but it was actually given the opportunity to do what it will do, I always have desired to teach the word. There's so many different ministries that people look to, the evangelist or the prophet, and God uses you in whatever you need to be used. Sure. It really is not about a title, but Jesus taught more than he did anything. And so my vision has always been for my own people, and it's been to teach the word of God, because I know if they would give heed to it, if they could fall in love with it, that it's going to set them free. It's going to change their life. When the Lord gave me the download for Beauty Inside Out, it was life-changing, actually unbelievable. My sister has always been a prophetic voice in my life. Like I said from the beginning, she comes down me. It's like, we're doing this together. And she said to me, I was studying at my table one day. She was a season that she was here in the town with me. And she came in and I had the Bible out. I said, sis, you don't know what the Lord just showed me. And I'm so excited about whatever it was at the time. And she said, you need to be doing this, sis. You need to be making these, studies available to people so that they could. So she planted the seed then. I guess it was maybe 2013. And a few years later, I had gathered a group of women. The Lord told me, get these women together. A lot of them were the girls that called to worship and tell them we're going to write. I didn't know what we were going to write. I didn't know what we were going to write about. I had no idea. But I was like, the Lord put it on my heart to make material available for our people. And it was funny, before I'd even shared it with them, I'd only shared it with my pastor's wife and a few, my sister, just a very small, small group as I was still praying about it. We had a ladies' retreat. It's always a ladies' retreat. It's why we have the rivals to come together. And Lisa Jeffrey prophesied over me. I had not told, I'm telling you, maybe three people. And she started to prophesy over me. She said, I've seen a book that you wrote. And I almost fell over because I hadn't. At this point, nobody I knew had ever written a book. Maybe somebody did, but I didn't know of any travelers ever writing a book. So it was so foreign and so out of the box. you know, and I was just like, I can't believe the Lord showed this to this woman, because I hadn't even told anybody. And so I came up to her afterwards. I said, I have a heart for my own people to write things that they can understand, and it's going to help them study the Word of God. And she said, well, that's beautiful, but that's not the vision, she said. I seen your book being sold in bookstores, she said. And I honestly was like, yeah, whatever. Never dreaming. You know, I believed her. I trusted her as a woman of God, but it sounded so far-fetched. And so when the Lord gave me the download, and when I say a download, I was drinking a cup of coffee, visiting with the Lord, just at that time of prayer, not a fast. And he literally showed me the entire book. Ladies, he showed me the cover. Gosh. He showed me every day. He showed me what I was supposed to write about, what the subject was, how I was going to use lipstick. And I can't even put makeup on. I'm like, I don't even know how we got here. I called my sister. I was like, you don't believe what the Lord showed me. And she's like, you didn't even have that yesterday. You have a full book and all these chapters. I said, you don't know. It was unbelievable the way the Lord showed it to me. And so I knew I had to go forward with it. But in saying that, I went from my ladies' meet and I run for all those years, probably had maybe 12 or 15 women in it. And when Beauty Inside Out came out, I went from teaching 12 women to there was 12 churches at one time doing the study.
Wow.
That the Lord allowed us women to write. And I didn't write it by myself. He'd give me a group of women. We wrote it together. They took one day, and I give them the vision. I'm always been about collaboration. Let's work together here. Let's you know, do the work together. And so just like that, Andy, overnight, literally, within a few, they were... The churches all over the country was using it to teach, and people were standing up and teaching for the first time ever. What am I saying? He always does exceedingly and abundantly above whatever we could ask or think. And I had to take a moment and share that, because it was such a pivotal moment.
That was one of those standout moments we was looking for.
It was one of those standout moments. And here's what I found. This is, you know, everybody knows the story of the woman with the issue of blood, and how she, Matthew chapter 9 talks about how she pushed through and she touched the hem of his garment. At that point, nobody had ever done that. Nobody had ever touched Jesus's hem and were healed. But what happened, and I've seen this with the Lord allowing us to do the all-girl band, we didn't set out to be the first girl band. We just set out to serve the Lord. Well, when I wrote a book, I didn't set out to write the first, you know, I'm going to be the first person to write a book. I just, the Lord put it in my heart. But I've seen that forerunner anointing that he allowed me to do things. Animate, God's put it on your life. He was a young woman playing the guitar. Who played the guitar back then for the Lord anime? Who's ever done a podcast?
That I know, did not.
Nobody. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It was that, it's a precedent. And so when the woman with the issue of blood reaches out and she touches the hem of his garment, in Matthew 14, if you read a few chapters later, it said Jesus was going through the Lake Gennesaret. People were lining up on the streets and they were saying, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. But until she done that, nobody else did that. And that's what God allows us to do. Sometimes he asks us to do things that's so foreign to us. But within, even as I was writing, the Lord had put it on different women's hearts to start writing. Now we've got books coming out, you know, every couple of months or a year or so. God, just because they look at you and they think, God, if you can use her to do it, then you can use me to do it.
Right.
And this won't be the first podcast, anime. This won't be the last podcast. No. I should say, you, when I asked you about it, you was like, please do a podcast. Because it's a new thing. It's a first thing, but it gives people something to look at to say, you know what? If God can use them, he can use us.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So go back to the vision. I'm sorry.
That's what I said, Bessie, on the way, or the other day when I was talking to Martha. Is that when we were doing this podcast, or when we prayed before we done it, it might have been, what did I say, that it would encourage young women and other people to say, hey, I can do that too, you know? But the one thing, like you said earlier, Jesus taught, and that really jumped out at me when you said that, because Christ always quoted the word, and I never thought about it till you said that. Jesus taught. What an example, Bessie.
Well, he was the master teacher, anime. He was, what did they say to him? They come and they say, Rabbi, they call him teacher. And he healed, obviously, he come to save us. If you study the life of Jesus, he taught more than he did any of those other things. And so when I get the opportunity to teach, I think, God, I get to do what you, I get to be like Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
When I teach the word of God. And I know it makes you free because it made me free.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wish I could unzip people, pack them full of the word of God and zip them back up. I can only declare it. I can only do the best with my lack of education and what I lack in education, I make up for in fervor, because I love the word of God. I Amen. Love it.
What did it say about John and Peter? They perceived they were
unlearned men.
Yep. Yep. But
absolutely.
He said the man got healed.
They knew they'd been with God.
They
knew they had been with God.
And that's a servant's heart, Bessie. You said you want to encourage other people. And that's where my heart's at. I try to encourage the youth to sing or whatever ministry I get involved in. I try to get other people involved with me because it's not about one. It's about us all, you know?
It's about everybody together. Mm-hmm. And that is the vision. I know all that when you sent over the questions, what is your vision going forward? And that Amen. Truly is my vision, is to make disciples.
Amen.
And my heart is for my own people. God did allow me, just what the woman prophesied, picture for you to go into a Barnes & Noble, and here's your book. Who
right.
could
Amen.
Even imagine? I don't know who God reached with it. I know he sent it. I said a woman sent me from Africa, a picture with the book, Beauty Inside Out. What an unbelievable thing. But I got to tell you, my heart is for my own people.
That's
where my heart is. My Amen. Heart is for my own people. And God raises up from amongst us. That's what he does. When he's looking for a deliverer for Israel, he raised up Moses. Mm-hmm. He's looking for somebody to intercede for his people. He raised up Esther. He raises up people from among us.
Amen.
And thank
Amen.
God that he's raised up these pastors and these people that set organizations, and we're standing on their shoulders.
Yes.
We're, you know, the next generation. But if we're not careful to impart in our children, mm-hmm. in the next generation, to be servants. You know, I told you at the beginning, Mom and Dad showed me how to serve. They showed me, they were examples to me on that you didn't go to church just to go. You went and did something. I mean, that was what it was. And then God allowed me that privilege to, while I'm doing all of these things in ministry, ladies, I'm raising kids. I've got young kids. They could come with me on revival. And my heart's desire, yes, was to reach the world, but I was like, Lord, what good would it do to feed your neighbor Amen. Or feed the Amen. World if you didn't mm-hmm. feed your own children?
Amen.
And so when I would come before the Lord, I'd say, God, what's most important to me, my heart, my desire, my greatest ministry is to see my kids raised to love and serve the Lord. And
Amen.
That when they come to the age to make a decision
Accountability.
To get married,
mm-hmm.
that they would find people that loved and served the Lord. And I got to testify to the goodness of God, because it was my one thing. It was my heart's desire unto the Lord. And he did. My kids were raised up. They were imperfect kids. They were no different than myself. They had to have their own encounter with the Lord. But they were raised to serve the Lord. And now my boy's ordained. My son-in-law's ordained.
Amen.
My
Thank
kids
you,
just
Jesus.
Stepped up as youth pastors. My George and Henry are teaching in their church. One teaches the kids and one teaches the young boys playing the drums. Speaking
Praise
of which,
God.
When
Amen.
I told you when I stepped up to play the drums that time, I didn't know the seed that I was sowing at that point. Do you know that from that time until now, my husband is played the drums in our church. He could play the drums before, but he played the drums. God bless me with a beautiful man of God that allows me to do all of these things.
Right,
what a God. It's so good to me. But not only does he, my boy, raised up to play the drums, and then my two girls got married, and they married two boys to both play the drums.
Amen. Wow.
I didn't know.
Wow.
You know, you can't write that stuff.
No,
you can't.
When I sowed that seed, when there was no drummer, and I just said, God, I wasn't
That's amazing.
Good. I was horrible, but I was willing, and God anointed it, and it worked. But that seed come back fourfold. I am actually amazed. That God allowed my kids to be raised up to love and serve the Lord. And now I've got grandbabies. I'm like, okay, Lord, on to the next generation. But if we don't impart it in me, if we don't impart it in the next generation, you know, from Joshua, the very next generation, the people was back into sin again. Even though they had done great and mighty things, God had taken them out. They went back to the same old ways. And
That's
we
it.
Have to have a vision for our next generation and to pour into them. And that is, I want to see our people born again. I want to see them spirit-filled, and Amen. I want to see them fulfilling the call of God in their life. We need body ministry. Every joint supplies, whatever you can do. If you can run a camera, if you can run a sound. I'm horrible at sound systems. I'm overwhelmed by anything that's, you know, internet. And that's, I'm not good with that kind of stuff. But there are people that are. This young generation's fabulous with it. That's teaching the children, whatever it is.
That's it.
Find what you need to do. Every joint supplies. We need the
Amen.
Whole body. We need
Amen.
All hands
That's
on deck.
It. Amen.
Our people
and like
need.
You said, passing it down to your kids. If we cook beautiful meals for our children and we put everybody at the table, but we are the only ones, the older people that's eating at the table, and we don't feed the kids, they're going to starve to death.
They're going to starve to death.
We got to share
and
our bread.
And that's what Deuteronomy 6 said. It said, these words that I command you, he said, you keep mm-hmm. them in your heart, and then you teach them to your children. And
Amen.
That, you can't teach your children what's not in your heart.
Amen.
You understand? You can't, yes, you can sit down, you can open the word and say, oh, here's David and Goliath. But when it's in your heart, it comes out all day, every day, you know, everywhere you're at. And he said, teach them diligently. It's not the pastor's job. It's not the children's church teacher's job. It's our job.
Yes, it
to
is.
To impart the word of God in our kids. And then trust what Proverbs 22:6 says, that when they're old, they won't depart. Amen. They might, you know, it seem like they're going. I will say this, from the time I surrendered my life at 22 years old, I've had ups and downs, but I've never had ins and outs. I never looked back. Once I fell in love with the word of God, and that I realized that's what God called me to do, it's not only is it a saving grace, it's a keeping grace. It just drives you every single day to get up and do something for the kingdom of
God. Amen. Well, you love the word, and it's evident in your life. That's for sure, Bessie.
I do.
Is there anything else in closing that you'd like to add, or any kind of advice or anything else you'd like to say before we...
Say somebody that's considering stepping out for God, something like that.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely do. Like I said, my counsel to you would be, if you don't know exactly what to do, because nobody really knows at the beginning exactly what to do, find a need in your church. There's a space. If you're in, wherever you're at, go to your pastors and say, I want to serve. Where could I go? They might give you something to clean. They might give you, put you in nursery. That's probably where you're going to go. But you start serving where you're at. And you know, my desire for our people, the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:10 that we've all been given a gift, and that we're to be good stewards over that gift. So God's gifted every single one. Everybody's called them. You're not called to be a believer and not called to minister. You might not be called to pulpit ministry, but you're called to minister. You're
That's
called
right.
to go out and share your testimony and witness and do whatever. And so I want to see our people operate in their gift and discovering what it is the Lord's called us to do. I want to see them come together. And may I be honest, that's my vision for our people. I've seen in times past when crisis takes place, when babies are sick or somebody's had, our people rally together.
Yes.
And they draw together in the time of crisis, and thank God for it. And we've seen unbelievable things happen when we come together. But the enemy tries so hard keep us divided, even amongst our own people, amongst our own very family. Mm-hmm. The Bible says where there's strife and envy, there's confusion in every evil work.
That's right.
But it also says in Psalms 133 that where there's unity, he commands a blessing. Mm-hmm. And I've always been one, gather them
That's
together.
Good.
But it's a body. I wrote books. We played in a band together. We wrote books together. We did, every time we went on a ministry, I'm telling you, I'd load up the van, a bunch of women, and go evangelize it in New England. I'm like, let's just go do something. My goodness. Do something. But when
Amen.
We come together,
Amen.
Here's
Amen.
What Exodus 1 says. Pharaoh was oppressing God's people. He said, there's so many of them, I'm paraphrasing it. If it dawns on them how many there is, if they'll come together, they're mightier than we are. And there are so many travelers, so many people around our country, that if we would really come together with a vision for our people, thank God for the ones that have, the few that have took a burden and took a vision. But what if we come together? And we started to just do what it was the Lord called. God favored our people, and made ignorant people. He caused us to be blessed, be able to do things we could never do in work and in life and all these things. What if we applied that to the Spirit of God? What if we applied Amen. That to the kingdom
Amen.
Of God?
Amen.
What could we not do? God said, here's my vision for our people. He said, stop crying to me in Exodus 4. He said, tell them, Moses. He said, but tell them to stop crying and move forward.
There
and
you
it's
go.
Time
Amen.
That we... move forward. We've been in the same place for a long time, like just wandering around and never going forward. And the key to moving forward, you can find it in Joshua 1:8. It says this. God says, now Moses has took them around the wilderness all these years because they, you know, wouldn't get the rest together. But when they come to that Jordan River and they're about to cross over into that promised land, that place, God says to Joshua, he said, now this book of the law, don't let it depart from your mouth. He said, meditate in it day and night. Don't turn to the right or the left of it. He said, because then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success.
Amen.
And I don't know anybody that doesn't want to prosper and succeed.
Okay.
Every person I know's desire is to prosper and succeed. But that word prosper doesn't mean make money. It means
Amen.
Move forward.
Amen.
If you look up the definition of prosper, it means to move forward. So when God tells us as a people, it's time you move forward, it's time you come out of the old tradition. And the old nonsense. It's a long time now, anime. Our people's been saved and had churches been established.
Mm-hmm.
It's time we move forward. It's time we move forward. And he gives us the key in the scripture. He said, if you'll meditate in the word of God day and night, and you won't turn to the right or the left of it, he said, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. That's
Amen.
The way to do it. That's
Amen.
The way that we're going to move forward. And so
Amen.
My heart always goes back to the word. That is always, you know, we're just because I see the Lord just do such mighty things. He always
Amen.
Uses his word and his spirit. He ain't changed. Always the same way. So
Amen.
I hope
Amen.
I haven't said too
no,
much. I know I talked a lot.
Well, you talked anointed, and we've enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm sure it's going to bless many people. And we certainly want to thank you for taking time and for supporting us and coming on and doing one of these podcasts. And we're going to get you again now that you're into it.
I love it.
Amen. I want to thank you too, Bessie, and say we greatly appreciate your ministry. And if you've never been on Bessie's Wednesday in the Word, you need to get on that and listen to it.
Thank you for the plug. That was my
love
last
you.
And doing Wednesday in the Word.
So Wednesday in the Word. Good stuff. Yep. Good teaching.
So good deal.
We're here to say get into Wednesday in the Word, which is on Facebook on Wednesday.
Yes.
On Wednesday. Amen.
Wonderful teachings. Amen.
God
thank
bless
you, Bessie.
Well, that's our podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and was encouraged. Please follow us on Spotify for new episodes every week. If you download the Spotify app, which is free, it makes it much easier to find us. We'll be posting the link each week on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you grow in His Word and Spirit. God bless.